Good morning and welcome to Byers & Company. Kevin Brahaney sits in today for the vacationing Brian Byers. This hour, we'll hear from Mark Tupper with Tupper on Smorts a little later, and we're going to go to the phone with Senator Andy Menar to talk. Kevin Brahaney, Andy Menar, Byers & Company, next.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Welcome back to Byers & Company, hour number two. It is 7:07, and what's the temperature out there, Mr. Nick? About 24 degrees or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, it's been 24 all morning so far.
All right. We have Senator Andy Menar on the phone. He is our state senator here in Decatur, Illinois. He's also from Bunker Hill in southern Illinois, Macoupin Counties, represents the 48th District. And Senator Menar, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing good, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
You know, Senator, Nick said, now be nice to Andy because he and I got into this big old discussion about the impeachment in the first half hour. But he, what Nick doesn't know is that you and I are pretty good friends.
Yes, and you, I mean, you've always been great to me, Kevin, ever since we first met, I think, back in 2011, I think. It was the summer of 2011, and shortly after, I had announced I was running for the state Senate, and you and I met, and ever since then, we've worked on many projects together, and you've been overly kind to me,
well,
no question about it.
That's actually, it goes the other way, but the reality is everybody's got me pigeonholed as dye-in-the-wool Republican. I lean Republican. I vote Republican a lot, but I also vote for the person. And I vote for my fair share Democrats, Nick Smith. And this is one I don't think I'm in the 48th because I'm up in Forsyth.
Yeah.
But if I was.
I think you're a little bit too far north. My district, the 48th district ends just about north of Mound Road, north of Target there, just before you get to I-72. That's the district line between Senator Rose and myself.
You know, and I know Senator Rose pretty well, and I really like him. So I like you equally because, actually, if I were really to compare, you have done more for Brian and I than anyone has. And I can say it for about any state senator in a long time because you literally used your influence to save the Oasis Day Center when the state cut its funding and it was going down. And you went and met with, at the time, Nancy Root and Mayor McElroy at the time and a contingency of people. And the one that came through was you. And thank you. I'll never forget you coming up with like $350,000 that year to save the center.
It was, you know, I go back to, I think I had met you and Brian, Kevin, out in front of the station. And I don't know if you remember this, but you didn't tell me where we were going that day. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was part of the trick.
That was
because
that was part of the trick.
You know, when
not afterwards.
Now, in fairness to you, and I, when I say trick, when we went and raised money in the early days for the Oasis,
yeah.
If you told people you were taking them to a homeless shelter, they wouldn't really want to go. So you just say, trust me, come with me. And once mm-hmm. they got there, their eyes bugged out and they couldn't believe the good that they saw going on in this center, right?
Correct. And I would put myself in that same category. I had been in the Oasis Center once before, but it was when it was after hours. So there were no, you know, there were no individuals there being served. But I remember that day, it was a hot, if you remember, it was really hot that day.
Oh, yeah.
That was a warm summer, and we met out in front of the station and drove over to the center, and I was blown away by the work that was being done there. And I think the most moving thing for me was talking to the individuals who were getting services, any number of services, and knowing how important it was, not just to them, but to the larger community in Decatur. And I was relatively new. I think that was my first year in office, actually.
Well, and I want to tell you what, that was a tough sell for you to get accomplished in Springfield because that was the year everything was being cut. And like mm-hmm. you said, you're new as a freshman senator, but that had to be one of the things, and I'm sure there have been many since, that make you say, this is why I'm doing this job. It isn't about all the crazy politics that goes on in Springfield. It's about when you know you use your power as a senator to save and help people really who needed it. And Senator, you did.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would, you know, you mentioned Nancy's name and you mentioned Mayor McElroy's name. And
God bless them both.
I got to tell you, Kevin, that having reflected now on many years in the job, I think I just crossed seven here the other day. You meet people along the way that you would have never have otherwise met. And I had a group of students from Decatur over in the Capitol. I think it was last week or maybe the week before.
And oh, I saw that. The mentoring group?
Yeah. And you know, great group of young people. And every time I have a group of high school students or young people, I remind them that, you know, politics isn't about partisan bickering. And I use the story of Mayor McElroy and I, who were fierce opponents in that first race, as you well know. And we ended up being very, very close friends. And I was actually, and you know this story, but I feel compelled to tell it this morning on air, that, you know, the morning that he passed away, I was waiting for him in his office. He was actually driving to pick me up. And we were going to go have breakfast because shortly after that very contentious race in 2012, and he was one heck of an opponent. I will say that he was one heck of an opponent because he was good at campaigning, even well beyond Decatur, even in places that, you know, didn't know him like everyone in Decatur did. But I was waiting for him in his office because we decided early on that after that race that we should just put all of that partisan campaigning behind us and work together when we can to help the community that he loves and that I love. And we did that. And I tell that story all the time to students because I think it's important that they see that side of government and that side of politics, because so much today is just focused on hyper-partisanship.
Well, you're two class acts, and I can see that happening. And back then I supported, and I didn't know you, but I supported Mike McElroy very heavily, and only because of everything you just said about him, I knew. And mm-hmm. Isn't it funny the way things turn out? So here you come along and beat him, and that was a big win for you because he was a hard opponent and very popular in Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
But it just showed the class of both of you that instead of, you know, being enemies, you became friends. He became mayor, and you became his senator and worked well together, and I compliment you both.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't surprise me.
And that's tough to do, and I would just tell you that just doesn't and, you know, this is not me saying, you know, either of us deserve a blue ribbon. It just that just doesn't happen very often anymore, and I learned a valuable lesson there. You know, I recall the first time he and I spoke after the election. Julie Curry had encouraged me to reach out.
And there's another great person.
Remember.
Julie
yeah,
Curry.
Another one. Wonderful, wonderful individual, and just proud of Decatur. And she encouraged me to reach out, and she said, you know, if you two knew each other, you would really like each other. And I had people tell me that along the way, actually throughout the campaign in Decatur. People said, hey, if you knew Tuna, you two would get along really well. And so when we sat down the first time, I said that to him. I said, Mayor, so many people have told me that if we knew each other, we would get along with each other. And you know what he said, Kevin? He said, you know what, Andy, people told me that too.
I believe it.
And so right there, the sting was removed, and, you know, the contest of the election was removed. And to me, we just need more of that type of thing today in our civil discourse.
Well, Tuna and I had a lot in common. We both came from a big Irish Catholic family. And normally when you grew up in an Irish Catholic family, you're a Democrat. And mm-hmm. and I imagine he was until some point in his time where he decided to move over to the Republican side because he saw more things going on the Republican side that he liked. I'm the same way, but I started out voting for Jimmy Carter way back in the day, you know, until I decided he wasn't a very strong leader and we need somebody better, and I switched to Reagan. I mean, so he knew on both sides of it, and that there are good people on both sides. I'm not so sure that's the way it is anymore. I think there's like a line. You're an enemy if you're one party or the other. And it's just, we're not getting anywhere this way.
You know, I was surprised. I'm still surprised today that you know, political campaigns drive people into those corners, right? They try to drive people into a partisan place. But I think when push comes to shove, most people don't fall. And at least in the district that I have the privilege of representing, which is, you know, which on its face could elect a Democrat or a Republican. Frankly, we need more of those, in my opinion. We don't need these hyper-partisan districts. And but mine could do either. I mean, if a class were to, you know, or a professor or a study were to analyze the 48th Senate district, the outcome would be, well, that district could elect a Republican or a Democrat. But I think at the end of the day, most people don't fall in those camps. I'm still convinced of that while we talk about politics in binary terms of Democrats and Republicans, most people that I represent, I am wholly convinced, fall somewhere in between. They may lean liberal or lean conservative, or, you know, they may have an opinion about one issue, but on another issue, they're different. And that to me is what we have to continue to stress. And, you know, for me, that's a challenge in Springfield because, when you represent a swing district, which there aren't too many of anymore, anywhere in the country, frankly, not just in Illinois, but anywhere in the country, that gets tricky because people want you to be 100% this or 100% that. And that's just something I have never, never prescribed to.
Okay. Senator, can you stick around for the whole half hour?
Yeah, I got a few minutes, Kevin. No problem.
All right, great. Nick, you're going to love it when we come back because we're going to talk about a tweet that he made yesterday that's right down your alley. And there's a tease. That's even a tease for Nick Smith.
All right.
So why don't you do the weather and hurry through the weather and commercials so you can get back to hear this tweet that Senator Menard made yesterday. More right after Nick.
Here's a look at your WSOY three-day weather forecast. Today's going to be cloudy with a high near 36, maybe a little wind. For tonight, though, snow is likely mixed with freezing rain and sleet. It'll be low around 29. Not very much ice expected, if any. For Thursday, snow is likely before noon. Then we might see some rain and snow later with a cloudy night and a high of 36. And for Friday, rain and snow is likely again. It'll be cloudy with a high of 36. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is still at 24 degrees, and your WSOY time is 7:19.
Brian Byers.
Lindsay Romano.
Here for Just Right Eating. You have until the end of the month to get 50% off your first week. Just use Brian50 at the checkout at justrighteating.com. You know what this is like. Twice a week, we get it delivered right to our house. Freshly sourced ingredients, freshly prepared, healthy meals.
Tuesday and Friday, my favorite days of the week.
5 and 7 day plans. Most popular is the lunch and dinner 5 days a week.
Which
that averages out $7 a meal. Are you kidding me? If I could bring it to your door, leave it on your doorstep, you pull it out, put it in the refrigerator, take it from the refrigerator, put it in the microwave, and you have quality, healthy food. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, justrighteating.com. And for a limited time until the end of the month, 50% off your first week. Just put Brian50 in at checkout. And you know how simple the checkout and the process is.
Oh, and then, you know, you can pick your own food, your own menu, things like that. And if you don't have the time for it or don't want to hassle, they'll design it for you.
JustRightEating.com. Sign up today. Promo code Brian50 at checkout for 50% off your first week. JustRightEating.com.
I'm ready to buy a new house. Is there a single website that lists all realtor open houses this weekend?
I need to sell my home fast. Where can I find an agent with access to high-quality video footage, skilled photography work, and proven marketing strategy?
I'm looking for a home close to my parents' house. Is there a way to search for listings by community?
You asked, we answered. Welcome to the new BrinkOtter.com.
Find your way home. BrinkOtter.com.
With roots in agriculture, manufacturing, production, we've emerged as a global force. It's a transformation. Logistics services, food and ingredients, biotechnology, health and medical science. Innovation at its finest every single day. These careers are waiting for you. Visit careersdecatur.com. We are Decatur and Macon County, and we are limitless.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Welcome back to Buyers and Company. We have Senator Andy Menar on the line, and I very, very much appreciate you, Senator, for taking the time to be on the show this morning.
Sure thing.
Hey, do you want to read your tweet or do you want me to read it?
Which one, Brian? I'm sorry, Kevin. Which one?
Well, there are a lot of them here, but this is the one from January 21st.
Can I guess?
Which I guess was yesterday. Oh, you're going to have a huge supporter, so don't worry. You don't have to worry about me near as much because you got reinforcements. When Republicans are in charge, the priorities of J.P. Morgan, Bank America, CITI, Citibank, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley dwarf the basic needs of working people. We must hold Republicans accountable for the 2017 Trump tax bill. How do you like that, Nick? That speaks just to what you were saying.
Oh, get out of here. I think you have me pegged as being a very specific thing in your head as well. As you...
No, are you saying, Senator, that none of these places paid taxes?
Well, I do know.
No.
We were talking about earlier, Amazon effectively made $11.2 billion, paid zero on it, actually got refunded something in the tune of like $150 million.
Is it because they made a huge investment somewhere where they got these tax credits, do you think?
And there's loopholes, credits, well, offsetting expenses.
Senator, let me just ask you this. If Amazon came to Illinois and said they wanted to drop a huge distribution center right in the middle of Springfield, you think they get wooed by the city government as well as the state government in tax credits?
Well, that happened. That's happened. And very, very near the southern end of the district I represent, just south of Edwardsville, there's a very large distribution center there, Kevin. And, you know, they got standard tax credits, yes. Deal completely with state and local taxes. But I would say it wasn't anything out of bounds. I thought it was, from my recollection, well done. It was well balanced. Talking about here, though, is what undoubtedly was the one accomplishment, one very large bill that was signed into law before the Congress changed hands. And, I mean, from all accounts, I'm struggling to find how that vote on that bill, that is now the law, federal law, has helped people that I represent. And that's my fair assessment. So I'm not saying those banks don't pay taxes. Frankly, I think probably some of them don't, but I'm not going to assume that. But clearly, that Republican tax bill that was passed by the Republican Congress, signed by President Trump, matches their priorities, and their priorities are different than mine.
Well, I've worked for two banks now, and I've never worked for two businesses that are more regulated and pay as much taxes as those two banks that I work for. So, I mean, I don't know about the investment banks like Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley, but I got to believe they're paying taxes. But you know, these tax incentives. For example, if Andrew Chiligaris is going to come in here in an hour, and I bet he'd tell you that these TIFs are great things because it gives a developer an opportunity to build, to borrow a lot of money to build something very risky, to see if people will buy into their condominium complex. And the people who buy into the condominium complex may not have to pay property taxes for 10 years. But guess what? After the 10 years is up, they're paying property taxes.
Yeah.
And
I've had my disagreements with some individual things in my district that have occurred utilizing TIF districts. But overall, you know, those are administered locally. And overall, that to me is, and it ought to be up to a local city. And, you know, that requires balance with the school district because, like you said, the property tax incentive affects the school district more than anyone. But it's a vital tool, in my opinion. That's a locally controlled tool, which to me is a plus because the city of Decatur's priorities are different than the city of Springfield's or city of Taylorville, for example, but they can mold that TIF district after what their priorities are. And that to me is a good tool that mayors, mostly mayors, have available to them.
That's how they turn all those old factories into condominium complexes in downtown St. Louis and Chicago.
Yep. Yeah, and it's a good tool. I would say that, you know, there's a few instances in the state where, and I don't want to mischaracterize the entire point of how TIFs are used in Illinois, but there's a few instances in the state that where I think TIFs are abused, and they try to manipulate a system that deals more with school funding than it does TIF districts. But that was part of our bipartisan school reform bill that I passed and Governor Rauner signed. To try to weed those things out. That was a good reform. But overall, I think TIF districts, at least in the district that I represent, are valuable tools that balances. This is the key to me.
I think we're all in agreement here.
Balance the need of business and balance the need of people.
Okay. And I think we're in agreement. Nick, were you all three in agreement?
Yeah, that's most importantly, you've got to take care of your when you're tasked with the responsibility of representing the people that you are tasked with representing, their interests should come first. And so I think, yeah, we all agree at that.
Oh, man, I got so many more questions for you, Senator. I don't have enough time, but just real quick, would you say something about what's going on with Mike Madigan and John Sullivan and all this FBI investigation? It's got to be a little bit heavy on the party.
Oh, it's beyond concerning. And what you'll see coming up in this session is you're going to see the Senate probably move next week to start amending its rules of self-governance, which we do on ourselves. I think you'll see an aggressive approach there. And then we have this bipartisan commission that has started its work. And I think at the end of the day, rightfully so, Kevin, the people of the state are going to see the most aggressive approach to ethics reform that we've seen since Rod Blagojevich, and that's an absolute necessity for the coming session. And I think you're going to see the state Senate leading the way so that we can get that done.
It seems like the governor's pretty serious about it, too.
He is, very much. And to his credit, he's calling out members of his own party, as have I. And these things, you know, this is not a partisan issue. These things govern Democrats and Republicans, these ethics laws. We have tough ethics laws in Illinois as a result of Rod Blagojevich, but we need tougher. We need tougher laws. We need laws that make government more transparent, and you'll see this on twofold. The Senate governs itself with rules of how we do things, how we conduct ourselves as individuals. You'll see that change, and then you'll see a series of changes in law. And I'm hopeful that will be come May 31st when we adjourn session, I hope to be able to say that was our greatest bipartisan accomplishment of the 2020 session.
Thank you, Senator. We got it ended there. I really appreciate your time this morning.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, Senator Andy Menard.